Welcome to The New Exchange, a podcast series that explores how everyone has a story to tell. My name is Kent Grandpierre, and you know I have to say it, but I do fucking love this band. Los Bichos are an all-girl rock band based in London who are just beyond badass. Their music is a mixture of instrumental psychedelia and Latin American cumbia. And yet the most striking thing about them is the emphasis of fun that rests at the center of their music. It makes it even more fitting that the debut album is called Let the Festivities Begin. In many ways, Los Bichos are a great antidote to a rock world that takes itself way too seriously. I was recently at one of their shows here in Brooklyn, and I can't remember the last time a band had such a reactive crowd while also doing their own thing. That's probably the thing that stands out the most about them, the way they're able to be in a trance with each other on stage, yet they still go out of their way to make you feel like you're part of the party. I'm joined today by guitarist Augustina, who is gracious enough to reflect on the beginnings of the band, working with Alex of Franz Ferdinand, and we also take stock of this crazy ride that they're on. So I want to set the stage a bit. This episode is a little bit different than our usual talks, but in quite a special way. What starts out as your typical interview turns into a much more casual chat. Still informative about the band, but I could tell that a more relaxed talk would suit Augustina post-tour. And it's pretty cool with this being the last summer bonus episode. The vibe of it kind of fits those waning days of the summer. Basically, I hope giving this a listen helps in making your day feel more relaxed. Los Bichos are currently wrapping up a European tour and will be touring the UK starting on September 20th in Bedford. They'll also be supporting Franz Ferdinand throughout October with a massive show at London's Ali Pali on October 20th. Again, they're such a great live band, don't miss out on seeing them while you can. This is The New Exchange with 1/4 of Los Bichos. Enjoy. I have to say, it's lovely to be sat here with you today. How's it going?
Oh, thank you. I'm good. I'm jet lagged. Yeah, I haven't been able to properly sleep in the last 3 days, but I'm trying to survive. You?
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I was hoping to like link up with you guys while you were here in New York, but it was a thing where it was just nonstop, wasn't it? Like day after day.
Yeah, it was a really intense month. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, after all these lockdowns, right? Like to travel here to the States and play shows like that. I mean, fuck, what's it been like for you? Also, tell me, what do you think surprised you the most getting to do this?
Well, it's been amazing. We do love touring the States. It was our first headline tour there. We played Southwest and West before in March. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We're really like, some people are so nice. And yeah, it's just, I love the food there as well. I'm a massive fan. So.
Well, I mean, one of the highlights that you got to do is, like a lot of people are familiar with Central Park here in New York, but I don't think many people are familiar that you could play a concert there, and you opened up for Bill and Sebastian there.
That was amazing. I did like I've been in New York before, and I obviously went to Central Park, but I didn't know that there was a stage that you can play in. It was amazing. It was really good to support Bill and Sebastian. They were lovely, and it was an amazing experience. We also played at the Ryman in Nashville, and that was another like
wow.
Incredible dream. Yeah.
Jesus, people will like have 10-year long careers and not get to do that. How amazing is that?
Yeah, I know. We were really lucky. We couldn't believe we were playing there.
Yeah. Well, one of the big things I wanted to chat about is how, so like, I love your band. It's going to be mentioned in the intro, but your band is phenomenal. And I think one of the things that I've really gravitated towards is how the band is very global. Like Nick is from England. Sarah is from Australia, Josephine is from Sweden. I remember you're from Uruguay, correct?
Yes, I am from Uruguay.
Yeah, so I feel like naturally all these different upbringings and walks of life is reflective in the music, but I wonder if you, as being someone who's in the band, that's something you've noticed as well.
Yeah, obviously, like, we all have different tastes in music, but the same taste at the same time, if that makes sense. So I think we all bring something to the band that is different. And yeah, being from different cultures and different countries influences the band a lot.
And it's interesting too, because I think what really I find striking about that is like the idea that you could have all these different perspectives work in a project like that. It's special. I mean, I think it's more common for people to kind of have similar upbringings and almost think kind of similarly and bouncing ideas off each other. But That's really beautiful. Like, when you guys met, was it kind of obvious to you that you would be making music together, or?
No, we met like different situations. I met Sarah at a party, officially, because I met her before, but we probably didn't chat. And we met at a party, and then I found out she wanted to start a band. And I used to play in a band back in Uruguay as well, but it was a punk band, nothing to do with this. And I really miss being a band. So I was like, Sarah, I want to join you and I want to play guitar. So you got to teach me how to play keys. And then, yeah, we started the band together and we had other friends playing with us. And we had like our gig after 4 weeks of like starting the band.
Really?
And then like a year later, Josephine and Nick joined us. And yeah, we met Nick because of a friend in common. We were looking for a drummer and yeah.
How amazing is that? I mean, I think a lot of people would, like, I like to always think about how things work outside of the context of the way they're in. So I feel like the way you mm-hmm. describe that, it's almost like, say you got a job at an office and they told you had a big presentation 4 weeks after. It's almost kind of similar.
Yes. Yeah, it was. I'm so glad we did it, obviously. But at the moment, we were like, what are we doing? Like, are we ready for this?
Is it a fond memory, like when you look back on that show?
Yeah, I loved it. And we were supporting the Parrots, which is a band I really love from Spain.
I love those guys, yeah. I'm good friends yeah. with the girls in Heinz, and they came up around the same time.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. I love Heinz as well, yeah. Oh. And so it was really good to support them, and I'm glad we did it, because, yeah, it was a fun thing.
That's incredible. So I feel like I know the answer to this, but I would love to explore it with you because I find it fascinating with you guys being based in London and knowing the way London is. It's a second home to me, and I love that city very much. And I wonder if you would feel that Los Bichos is a reaction to something. And what I mean by that is, like, when I listen to your music, I feel like I'm hearing a group of people who clearly enjoy making music with one another. And I don't think it's a secret, but sometimes in a city like London, it can feel like people are almost too cool or they're too calculated, and like it can be very cynical, but I feel like you guys are the very opposite of that.
Yeah, we don't take ourselves seriously. Even when we started the band, like, yeah, we just want to make music that make us happy and make people happy. I think that's really important as well, like more right now with everything that's been going on.
I agree. Like, do you feel like sometimes you guys would, like, go to shows or, like, see other acts? Like, you know, obviously not saying anything bad, and you would think, like, you'd want to be the opposite of what you were seeing, maybe?
No, I don't think it's out of, like, comparing ourselves to other people. It was more like a natural thing, and it happened. I said we like really sad music, and I probably listen to a lot of sad music. But
yeah. Well, I think about, like, me being at that show in Brooklyn, I felt like if there was a mission that you guys had, it was that people have to dance or people have to move. Like, it feels like that's kind of like the idea that you want the audience to experience, you know?
Yeah, we want people to dance. Yeah, 100%.
So going back in time a little bit, I'd really love to know, what were those early rehearsals and practices like for the band? Like, do you remember the feeling in the room and how you guys were together?
Yeah, I don't remember much. I remember we used to rehearse in a place that is now shut down. I don't know. The only feeling that I have is just like a feeling of like youth in a way, you know, because we were like younger and we were just starting. And I don't know. It's just that's the only feeling that I can have. And not only because of youth of age, but youth of like everything. And yeah.
I feel like something that's significant with youth in that way. It's like people always like to say that thing. They say it here in the States. I think they say it in the UK as well. That aspect of like youth is wasted on the young. And I think the older you get, the more context you have for it. But like amongst people who are like youthful, it's like you could go into a rehearsal space and spend 6 hours like nothing. Well, the time just goes away. And like I imagine that's how it was for you guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the feeling. But it was amazing.
That's beautiful. I fucking love that. And, you know, for you specifically, because you mentioned earlier you were in a punk band previously, like, how different did, like, the early days of Los Bichos feel to, like, the previous band you were in?
Really different. Well, for starters, it was I was the only girl in the other band. So that was different. And then Yeah, I was with the music and everything. I was singing, well, yelling. I was back in my home. But yeah, I mean, I guess the similarity is that my other band as well, they were really good friends. And it was always fun to play with them as well.
Yeah. Were you in London for a while before you and the Los Bichos girls connected? Or was it like kind of quick after?
Yeah, I was here like 2 years or 3 years. I don't remember now, but yeah.
What was your first impression of the city?
Well, I came here when I was 16 with my school to study. So I knew it already. And then I moved here when I was 24, 23. And I loved it. It's really cold. And yeah, obviously the weather is not the best one. But I love London. It's home in a way.
Yeah, I grew up there. I was born here in the States, but we would live there like 6 months out of the year up until I was like 10 years old.
And so, nice.
Yeah. And I go back quite a bit. I haven't been back since the pandemic, but previously I'd go back for loads of shows like at the Forum and like Brixton and like with different bands and Ali Pali. Something I like to tell people about London that's very unique is that obviously it's multicultural and a lot of cities are, but I feel like the way it is in London is like it's more in your face than it is in other cities where it's like,
yes,
it's like a big mesh. Have you found that yourself as well?
Yeah, I love it. Yes.
I hear your music and what's immediate to me is that there's an aspect of a shared vision where you're not only in sync musically, but also in how you want that music to be presented and experienced, especially in a live context. And I wonder for you personally, how important is that for you? Like, when you're on stage with the girls or when you're in a rehearsal space, do you feel like there's like this shared vision in a way? Or is that just me totally pulling that out of my ass of it?
No, 100%. Yeah, of course, I will have different ideas and opinions on certain things. But I think like the root of everything is the same. And when we're playing, like, you know, we look at each other, we know what we're thinking, we know what's going to happen. Sarah and I tend to talk a lot on stage between songs.
I noticed that.
But it's like always like nonsense. It's nothing like, it's always like a joke or something. And I think like it's also a way for us to be like, okay, we're here. Like, it's just a nice feeling. And I love the girls. We're a family, like at this point, and it's fun.
I could tell. And you know, like I don't play music, but I have a great appreciation for it. But I feel like when I see that as being an audience member and I'm watching it take place on the stage, it does feel like I'm seeing an element of trust amongst you. Like the fact that you all can play it. Oh, so you understand with that as well.
Yeah.
I love that. Like that's because, you know, I just think like that's, you have to build that. You don't just get that right off the gate. You don't open a jar and it's there right away. You know, you have to like build that with people.
Yeah. And it's important because we spend so much time together. And yeah. We need to trust each other and we need to love each other. And yeah, we're really lucky that we found each other and we started the band together.
Yeah. Like, was this most recent US tour the most time you guys had spent together at once? Or I guess you all live pretty close to each other on that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been touring since February, to be honest, because we did UK, then Europe. We did a whole April was all Europe. And then we got back and then we did like Eastern Europe. So we've been touring. We had like 2 weeks off in the last 4 months, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, we've been spending a lot of time together.
What a beautiful, because I have a good amount of friends who tour and are in bands and like a lot of them, it's still been kind of scattered because of the pandemic. But like what a beautiful contrast your year has been this year in contrast to just last year, right?
Yeah. I mean, last year we started playing a lot of festivals in the weekend. But yeah, this year, like since the album has been out in February, we've just been like touring.
Yeah, let's actually talk about the album. Let the festivities begin, because I feel like it's the kind of album that you can't help but smile while you're listening to it. And I'm curious if that was something you had in mind where you were like, in terms of the feelings that you wanted people to have while listening to it, it was that like that idea of like euphoria and happiness in a way.
Yeah, I mean, even the title and the photo we did and everything, we just wanted to make it like a big party. And like you will see in a record store and maybe you will like, you'll know about us and you'll be like, I want to listen to that because it sounds like fun and party. Yeah.
Do you feel like there's quite a contrast between what you set out to do and what you actually made in terms of the album. Because I imagine the experience of like being in the studio, it changed some things, right?
Yeah, it does. But I think we kept it like, also like our producer, Alex, he's really good and he understood immediately what we wanted. So I think it was everything pretty perfect.
Yeah, that was something I was going to bring up later. But like, funnily enough, would you believe that I fell in love with your music before I had any idea Alex was involved? That's Alex Kopranos, who produced the album from Franz Ferdinand. And yeah, that's the thing that's kind of wild. He's a very talented producer as well. Like, people obviously know him with his band, but yeah. And I've been lucky to have talked to him a couple times. And something that I love about Alex is that he's such a massive dork. And he's one of those people who's not shy about it when it comes to music. Is that something you noticed when you were working with him as well?
Yeah, he knows a lot about music, like a lot. And he's a really kind person as well. And it was really fun to work with him. And yes, it's always like really good to have someone that knows so much about music as through a producer, obviously.
And I noticed when I was looking at the credits that he actually had like a bit of writing credits as well, which is kind of rare for a producer. And I bring that up because I think it's a beautiful example of trust, like the fact that a band trusted him as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think like we trust everyone in our team, everyone that we work with.
That's lovely. I mean, it's again, you have to build that. You can't just buy that with people.
Yeah, no.
Tell me this, like, considering that element of trust and love amongst each other, do you feel like there's an experience that stands out to you from the making of the album that you hold very dear to you?
Like in the studio, you mean, or outside the studio, or?
Either or, because that's a good point, because sometimes being outside of the studio, there's an experience that could, like, stand out as well.
For me, it was like when I saw the album in Rough Trade, because when I moved here, I used to go to Rough Trade a lot. And
by Brick Lane, right?
Yeah. And I don't know why, like, I always thought, like, oh, I wish one day I have a band and, you know, it could be here. And I guess, like, when the album was out 2 weeks later, I went there and I saw it. And I remember being like, wow, like me 7 years ago.
That is so tied to the experience of making it as well, because, like, that might sound like the finish line, but it's like when you're in a studio making music, there's so much tunnel vision, right? And like,
yeah,
to see it out in the world, it makes it feel more real.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen either. Like, you might put it out and like no one wants to sell it or whatever, you know? Yeah. So seeing it there for me was kind of like, okay, the album is out.
You know, something I was keen to talk to you about, like knowing the roots of the band and how you got together and became like this live outfit first. There's a musician from Texas that I talked to a couple years ago named Jackie Venson, really talented guitarist. Mm-hmm. And she's like a proper guitar prodigy. But over the years, she's become a recording artist. And I remember I was talking to her a couple years back and she was saying that like she really honed her career performing live. So it was actually difficult for her to learn how to be in a studio and how to record. And like it was almost like daunting. And I wonder, like, for you guys, when you got together and you were making this album, was it like a learning curve for you of like being this live band and then being a studio band as well?
Well, we did record two singles before that, so we kind of have like studio time before the album. But yeah, I mean, of course, like you have to learn, because it's so much different than playing live. It's like really different, obviously. But we really enjoyed it. Like, we do enjoy everything we do together. I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's true.
No, I mean, arguably, why else do it? I mean, in a way, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like what's interesting when I think about that question, right, is that when you're on stage, there's a lot of synergy that you have just by the virtue that you're all in the same room and you're playing together. But in a studio, like, for people who are unfamiliar, you tend to record in segments. And I feel like sometimes that could probably feel a bit strange, but I guess just by the fact that you guys were in the studio together, even if
Oh, sorry.
No, please. Yeah. Go.
I know that we did record it all together, actually. So Alex made us play the songs all together so we could keep like the vibe when we play live.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well, that's, I feel like I should point out that's quite rare.
Yeah, it is. But he was like, we need to keep like the vibe that you'll have together. So we were like in a circle. In our positions, playing the songs.
Wow, in the studio.
Yeah, and then, like, we did the overdubs.
Were you guys excited that he brought that up as an idea? Because I feel something I've witnessed with a lot of bands is I think sometimes they'll have ideas before they go into a studio. And this goes to show what a great producer Alex is. Sometimes a lot of bands will have ideas. They talk to the producer and the producer's like, no, 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 no. But I guess Alex is more like, no, yeah, we could fucking do that.
Yeah, no, he wanted to do it. We had like a few practices before going to the studio with him. And we talk a lot about like this kind of stuff. And he was like, yeah, we need to like play all together so we keep like that vibe that you have on stage. Wow. So we're all really happy to do it.
How lucky you guys are. I mean, obviously that's like a relationship you've cultivated and a friend and, you know, a colleague. But it goes to show how much... I always think with bands, it's particularly special when you meet someone and they could believe in what you're doing. He clearly like believes in what you're doing.
Yeah, he did. We're really lucky that he did.
I think a great example of what we've been talking about is Reflective and Los Panteros. And I feel like the way the instruments come together is so special. And like it's almost like a dance where you're all having a moment to shine. And I feel like that's pretty interesting, where it's like every instrument is heard in a very significant way. Is that a song you find to be quite special as well, musically?
I love Las Panteras, yeah, because also, well, it's the last one we played before Tequila, but it's the last one we play. And it's good because we all dance and like, it's just such an, I can't find the word in English, but yeah, song. And it makes you want to dance and we're all doing something different and we all start jumping together. And it's a really good song. It's one of my favorite ones.
I think you had it uplifting, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, nice one. No, that is a brilliant one. And I feel like that song is a good example of something else. And I feel like you achieved this on the album a lot. So I love the band Idols. I think they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I remember reading an interview where the singer Joe, he said something very striking that stuck with me. He was asked when he's felt the most successful in the context of the band. And he said that the answer really surprised me. He said that he felt the most successful whenever the band had an idea that they talked together amongst themselves. And then they went into a room and they actually made the idea come to life. Because to him, it was like, okay, you could get with people, have this idea, and to actually make it come very close to the exact idea you had. It's like, he said it made this thing where it's like, we sound like us. And I wonder if Yeah, and I wonder if there's a song on the album for you that made you feel that way in terms of Los Bichos.
Well, all of them in a sense, but I think Lindsay goes to Mykonos because it's also like the story behind it. Sarah and I were really obsessed with Lindsay at the time. I mean, we still are, but you know, at the time it was even more. And we were like, we need to make a song about her. And yeah, I think that's the only song that we kind of like planned in a way. You know, it was like, we need to make a song. It has to have a storyline about her life and how much we love her. And this is going to happen.
Actually, can you talk to me a bit about that more? Because I should mention, so you brought up the song. We played it here in New York. You brought up the story behind the song in terms of just like Lindsay. But you also were playfully saying, if Lindsay's in the crowd, say hello. And what was kind of funny is that I feel like the crowd took it very seriously. Like the crowd was looking like, is Lindsay Lohan here? What is it about Lindsay Lohan that like you and the band appreciate?
Well, we grew up watching her movies and we love her. And then I think it was like 5 years ago, she opened a bar in Mykonos and she did a reality show. Oh. And yeah, so I think it's on YouTube or something. I don't know. And Sarah and I were like, okay, we need to do a song. So one day I sent her like the ba-da-da, ba-da-da-da. And she was like, amazing. And she did like this amazing song out of that. And we were like, okay, we're going to just like call it in her honor and like have some like Greek style on it. And yeah, but I think it's the only song that has actual like an actual story besides I enjoy it as well, but yeah.
And then like the experience and how it sounds, I guess the finished version sounds very similar to what you envisioned, which is like, that's, you see, to me as someone who just appreciates music from the outside, when I hear that that's possible, that like people could get together and make something, it seems very like elementary, but it's kind of wild to think, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yes, it is.
Yeah, what's become your favorite room to perform in London, by the way?
So I can't wait to play Alexander Palace. We're doing that in October. supporting Franz Ferdinand. And I think, I mean, I haven't played there yet, but that's going to be my favorite one probably.
Oh,
but
God.
I do like Moth Club and Shako Alarms because we play there so many times and we started there. And yes.
Jesus, I might have to fucking comb for that Ali Pali gig with Franz. That sounds like yes. amazing.
Yes.
Oh my God. Have you been there to watch a show though? Or?
Yes, I went to see King Gizzard and something else, but I don't remember because I was a bit drunk. But yeah, it was really good.
Oh my God. I mean, I just want to take a couple minutes because I feel like that venue is particularly unique. I've worked there a couple times. I've been there with Rudimental and I love those guys so much. And for people who aren't familiar with Ali Pali, it is in London, but the trek there is insane. It takes like 20 minutes kind of to go from like the train to the venue. It's on this weird hill and
yes.
it's like a castle. Like it feels like Hogwarts inside a little bit. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, it does.
God, King Gizzard there must have been phenomenal though.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Fuck, that is so fucking cool.
And another band that I love, Saint Etienne, they just played there like a month ago and I missed it, but yeah.
Oh,
I'm happy there. I'm gonna play in the same place, Saint Etienne.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I never know how to pronounce it in English, Saint Etienne. I never know how to pronounce it. I say it like in Spanish, Saint Etienne.
Yeah. What? So after, do you guys have some festivals lined up, or did you do some festivals before coming to the States?
Yeah, we're gonna do every weekend from here to mid-September.
Holy shit!
Yes. We start in next weekend, I think. I don't even know which day I am, but yeah.
Oh, God. Well, I was going to ask you if there's a place you're dying to go to more than anywhere else, but it's probably just like...
Well, I love playing Latitude Festival here in the UK, so I'm excited for that.
Mm.
And Rock and Zien in Paris.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. Yeah, I'm going to France soon for a wedding, and I get there, like, think the day after Rock and Sin or something, but that's a great one.
I know.
The lineup's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, I have one last question, and I normally would think it's a lazy question, but I think it's very fitting in the context of your band and, you know, with what the band has become. But what do you feel has become your favorite Los Bichos song to perform?
I think Las Panteras, yeah. Because also then it has like the tequila thing, which I really enjoy doing. And it's like, we're really happy and everyone is just like loose and dancing. And it's always fun to see people like having fun.
It really is. I mean, I have to say that show that you did in Brooklyn, and I feel like I could speak for people who probably went to that show and just people in general. I've been lucky to have gone to some shows since the pandemic started, but I feel like your show is a great example of like, it almost reminded me of what life was like pre-pandemic in terms of the mood in the room and the way people were. It was just nice seeing people cut loose and really like people listening. That too, like people are having fun, but also listening. I wonder as for you, you noticed that on stage where it's like people are actually like present.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yeah, I remember like we were playing, what was it? We were supporting Belle and Sebastian. Ah, it was the one in New York. And like everyone was having quite a good time, but there was this guy in the first row. He was falling asleep.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was falling asleep.
He was like probably like obviously he didn't want to see us. He wanted to see Bella Sebastian, which is fair enough. But I remember looking at him like, how can you even sleep like with everyone just like being so like you know?
Yeah.
Bless him. I mean, yeah, respect.
I love the fact that that's something you experience, and there's like no hint of like anger or upset. It's just like, oh no. That's something that happened.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And yeah, I mean the thing is like from stage you can see everything, and I don't know if a lot of people know that, but like you can actually see a lot and people's faces and stuff. Yeah, it was really funny.
do you have any standout moments when you're in like the Ryman, like anything that stood out there?
No, I was so excited that everything for me was like yeah,
unbelievable, man. Yeah, you guys did Boston and Philly as well, and so many other states too, right?
Yes, we did a lot. Yeah, Philadelphia was a lot of fun as well. We went on stage with them, with Belle and Sebastian, and we play a song with them. Sort of fun.
Yeah, they are unbelievable people. I caught them a couple years ago here. They played Radio City Music Hall, and like the big thing that stood out to me is that, like, you know, for a band that's been around for a long time, sometimes you come across people who are just going through the motions and treating it like a career. And I mean, it is a career, but like they don't really take in the vibe of what's going on. And I remember when they played Radio City, whenever that was, they're very gracious. They had a lot of gratitude that they were even able to still be doing that. That was like maybe 2014 or 15, something like that.
No. Yeah, they're so lovely. Like, yeah.
You guys are, I mean, I have a feeling maybe Alex might have said this to you, but I feel like you guys are almost becoming honorary Scots considering what's going on.
Well, our manager is Scottish as well. And Tom, who makes all our photos and music videos, he's Scottish as well. So we can have like a Scottish team.
That is fucking hilarious. Well, Scottish people are some of the funniest people in the world. I've done photos.
Yeah, they're the best.
They're the best. I've done photos with, we were promised jetpacks quite a bit, and the Twilight Sad. And I feel like those two guys, whenever I've been around them, just the jokes they shoot out, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're the best.
I'm so glad we got to do this chat today. Thank you. Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to come back to New York. I mean, the way people reacted to you, I feel like it's clear that you guys definitely have more things to do here.
Hopefully, yeah, we cannot wait to come back.
Thank you so much for checking this out. Be sure to subscribe to The New Exchange via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you stream podcasts. Until next time, thank you for listening. Oh.